Take those two, and we'll get the last ones, Garrick orders, and the others get to work, carrying the last of the bodies out through the door. I can't help but notice they all have rebellion relics shimmering up their arms, but I keep the observation to myself. Thank you, Zayden says, then flicks his hand, and my door shuts with a soft click. Now, let me see your ribs. We're wasting time. I swallow, then nod. Better to know now if they're broken anyway. I turn my back on him, but I can see his face in the full-length mirror as I shrug out of the billowing sleeves of my nightdress, holding the material above my breasts as it dips in the back to my waist. You'll have to— I know how to handle a corset. His jaw flexes once, and something that reminds me of raw hunger flitters across his expression before he locks it down, drawing my hair over my shoulder with surprising gentleness. His fingers skim my bare skin and I suppress a shiver, locking my muscles so I don't arch into his touch. What the hell is wrong with me? There's still blood on my floor, and yet my breaths are tight for the entirely wrong reason, as he makes quick work of the laces, starting at the bottom. He wasn't lying. He absolutely knows his way around a corset. How the hell do you get yourself into this thing every morning? He asks, clearing his throat as inch after inch of my back is exposed. I am freakishly flexible. It's part of the whole bones snapping, joints tearing thing, I answer over my shoulder. Our eyes meet, and warmth flutters through my stomach. The moment is gone as quickly as it came, and he pulls my armor apart, inspecting my right side. Gentle fingers stroke over the abused ribs, then prod carefully. You have one hell of a bruise, but I don't think they're broken. That's what I thought. Thank you for checking. It should be awkward, but somehow it isn't, even as he laces me back up, securing the ends. You'll live. Turn around. I do, tugging my nightdress back over my shoulders, and he drops to his knees on the floor before me. My eyes widen. Zayden Ryerson is kneeling before me, his black hair at the perfect level for me to run my fingers through the thickness. It's probably the only thing that's soft about him. How many women have felt those strands between their fingers? Why the hell do I care? You're going to have to walk through the pain, and we have to do it fast. He grabs a boot, then taps my foot. Can you lift it up? I nod, lifting my foot. Then he robs me of every logical thought by putting on my boots and lacing them one at a time. This is the same man who had no problems with my death just a few months ago, and my brain can't seem to wrap itself around the different sides of him. Let's go. He wraps my cloak around my shoulders and buttons it at my collar like I'm something precious. Now I know I'm in shock, because I'm anything but precious to Zayden Ryerson. His gaze drifts over my hair, and he blinks once before tugging my hood up over the fading dark-to-light mass. Then he grasps my hand and tugs me into the hallway. His fingers are strong as they curl around mine, his grip firm but not too tight. Every other door is shut. The attack wasn't even loud enough to rouse my neighbors. I'd be dead by now if Zayden hadn't shown up, even if I had managed to get out of Oren's hold. But how did that happen? Where are we going? The hallways are dimly lit by blue mage lights, the kind that signal it's still night for those without windows. Keep talking loud enough for others to hear, and someone will stop us before we get anywhere.
Can't you just hide us in shadows or something?
Sure, because a giant black cloud moving down the hallway isn't gonna look more suspicious than a couple sneaking around. He shoots me a look that keeps me from countering. Point taken. Not that we're a couple. Not that I wouldn't climb the man like a tree if presented with the right set of circumstances. I cringe as we make it to the main hallway of the dormitory. There will never, ever be a right set of circumstances when it comes to him, let alone right after he's executed half a dozen people. But in my defense, and in a sick, twisted way, his rescue was pretty damn hot.
Even if he's hauling me down the hallway at an untenable speed. Even if he only did it because my life is tied to his. My chest screams for a break, but there's none to be found as he leads me past the spiral staircase that leads up to the second and third year dorms and into the rotunda. It's going to take weeks for my ribs to fully heal. Our boots against the marble floor are the only sounds as we pass into the academic wing. Instead of turning left, toward the sparring gym, he takes us right, down a set of stairs that I know leads to storage. Halfway down the steps, he pauses, and I nearly run into the sword strapped to his back. Then he gestures with his right hand, keeping mine in his left. Click. Zayden pushes on the stones and a hidden door swings open. Holy shit, I whisper at the expansive tunnel revealed before us. Hope you're not afraid of the dark.
He pulls me inside, and suffocating darkness envelops us as the door closes.
This is fine. This is absolutely fine. But just in case you are, Zayden says, his voice at full volume as he snaps. A mage light hovers above our head, illuminating our surroundings. Thanks. The tunnel is supported by arches of stone and the floor is smooth, as though it's been traveled more than its entrance lets on. It smells like earth, but isn't dank, and it goes on for what seems like an eternity. He drops my hand and starts walking. Keep up. You could, I wince. Fuck, my chest hurts. Be a little more considerate. I trudge after him, dropping my hood. I'm not going to baby you like Atos does, he says without turning around. That's only going to get you killed once we get out of Bezgaeth.
He doesn't baby me.
He does, and you know it. You hate it, too, if the vibe I'm picking up on is any indication. He falls back to walk at my side. Or did I read that wrong?
He thinks this place is too dangerous for someone like me. And after what just happened, I'm not sure I can really argue with him. I was asleep. That's the only time we're supposed to be guaranteed safety around here.
I don't think I'll bother sleeping again. I shoot a look sideways at his irritatingly gorgeous profile.
And if you even think about suggesting that you sleep with me for safety from now on,
he scoffs. Hardly. I don't fuck first years, even when I was one, let alone you.
Who said anything about fucking? I fire back, cursing myself as the ache in my ribs only intensifies. I'd have to be a masochist to sleep with you, and I can assure you I'm not.
Fantasizing about it doesn't count. Masochist, huh?
A corner of his mouth quirks into a smirk. You hardly give off snuggly morning after vibes. A smile of my own curves my lips. Unless you're worried about me killing you while we sleep.
We round a corner and the tunnel continues. I have zero concern about that. As violent as you are and skilled with those daggers, I'm not even sure you could kill a fly. Don't think I didn't notice that you managed to wound three of them and never went for a kill shot. He shoots a disapproving look my way.
I've never killed anyone, I whisper like it's a secret.
You're going to have to get over that. All we are after graduation are weapons, and it's best if we're honed before leaving the gates.
Is that where we're going? Are we leaving the gates? I've lost all sense of direction in here.
We're going to ask Tarn what the hell just happened.
Zayden's jaw flexes, and I'm not talking about the attack. How the hell did they get past your locks?
I shrug but don't bother to explain. There's no way he'll believe me. I barely believe it myself.
We'd better figure it out so it doesn't happen again. I refuse to sleep on your fucking floor like some kind of guard dog.
Wait, this is another way to the flight field?
I do my best to mentally wall off the pain in my throat and ribs.
He's bringing me to you, I tell Tarn.
I know.
Are you going to tell me what that was in there?
I would if I knew.
Yes, Zayden says, and the path curves again. It's not exactly common knowledge, and I'm going to ask you to tuck this little tunnel into the file of secrets you keep on my behalf.
Let me guess, and you'll know if I tell? Yes. Another smirk appears, and I look away before he can catch me staring.
Are you going to promise me another favor? The path begins to climb, and the ascent is anything but gentle. Every breath reminds me of what happened less than an hour ago.
Having one of my favors is more than enough, and we've already reached mutually assured destruction status, Sorengale.
Now, can you push through it, or do you need me to carry you?
That sounds like an insult, not an offer.
You're catching on. But his pace slows to match mine. The ground shifts beneath my feet as though it's rocking. But I know better. It's my head, the result of the pain and stress. My steps wobble.
Zayden's arm wraps around my waist, steadying me. I hate how his touch elevates my heart rate as we continue the climb, but I don't protest. I don't want to be grateful for anything when it comes to him. But man, if that minty scent of his isn't delicious. What were you doing tonight anyway?
What makes you ask?
His tone clearly insinuates that I shouldn't.
Too bad.
You made it to my room within minutes, and you're not exactly dressed for sleeping.
He's strapped with a sword, for crying out loud. Maybe I sleep in my armor too.
Then you should pick more trustworthy bedmates. He snorts, a flash of a smile appearing for a heartbeat. A real one, not the fake, forced sneer I'm used to seeing, or the cocky little smirk. An honest, heart-stopping smile that I'm anything but immune to. It's gone as fast as it appears, though.
So you're not going to tell me? I ask. I'd be frustrated if I didn't hurt so damn much.
And I'm not even going to touch why he needed to haul us all the way to Tarn when I can chat with him anytime I want.
Unless he wants to talk to Tarn, which is ballsy. Nope, third year business.
He lets go when we reach the stone-walled end of the tunnel. A few hand gestures and another click sounds before he pushes open the door. We step out into crisp, freezingly cold November air.
What the hell? I whisper.
The door is built into a stack of boulders on the eastern side of the field.
It's camouflaged.
Zayden waves a hand and the door closes, blending into the rock as if it's part of it. There's a sound I now recognize as the steady beat of wings, and I look up to see the three dragons block out the stars as they descend. The earth shudders as they land in front of us.
I'm guessing the wing leader wants a word.
Tarn steps forward and Sigale follows, her wings tucked in tight, her golden eyes narrowing on me. And Darna scurries between Sigale's claws, galloping toward us. She skids the last dozen feet, paws digging into the ground to stop just in front of me, bringing her nose to my ribs as an urgent sense of anxiety fills my head, swamping me with feelings I know aren't mine. No broken bones, I promise, stroking my hand over the bumpy ridges of her head. They're just bruised.
You're sure?
She asks, worry widening her eyes.
As sure as I can be, I force a smile.
Trudging out here in the middle of the night is worth it to alleviate her anxiety.
Yes, I want a word. What the hell kind of powers are you channeling to her?
Zayden demands, staring up at Tarn like he isn't Tarn. Yep, ballsy. Every muscle in my body locks, sure that Tarn is about to torch Zayden for impudence.
None of your business what I choose or do not choose to channel toward my rider.
Tarn answers with a growl. This is going well. He says, I start.
I heard him. Zayden counters, not sparing me a glance.
You what? My eyebrows hit my hairline, and Andarna retreats to stand with the others. Dragons only talk to their riders. That's what I've always been taught.
It's absolutely my business when you expect me to protect her, Zayden retorts, his voice rising.
I got the message to you just fine, human.
Tarn's head swivels in that snake-like motion that puts me on alert. He's more than agitated.
And I barely made it! The words come out clipped through clenched teeth.
She would have been dead if I'd been 30 seconds later.
Seems like you had 30 seconds gifted to you.
Tarn's chest rumbles with a growl. And I'd like to know what the fuck happened in there.
I inhale sharply.
Don't hurt him, I beg Tarn. He saved me. I've never seen someone so much as dare to speak to another rider's dragon, yet alone yell at one, especially not one as powerful as Tarn.
He grumbles in response.
We need to know what happened in that room.
Zayden's dark gaze cuts through me like a knife for a millisecond before he glares back at Tarn.
Do not dare to try and read me, human, or you'll regret it.
Tarn's mouth opens, his tongue curling in a motion I know all too well. I move between the two and tilt my chin at Tarn.
He's just a little freaked out. Don't scorch him.
At least we agree on something.
A feminine voice sounds through my head.
Sigail.
In awe, I blink up at the navy blue dagger tail as Zayden moves to my side.
She talked to me.
I know, I heard.
He folds his arms across his chest.
It's because they're mates. It's the same reason I'm chained to you.
You make it sound so pleasant.
It's not.
He turns to face me. But you and I are exactly that, violence.
We're chained, tethered. You die, I die. So I damn well deserve to know how the hell you were under Seifert's knife 1 second and across the room in another. Is that the signet power you've manifested with Tarn? Come clean, now.
His eyes bore into me.
I don't know what happened,
I answer honestly.
Nature likes all things in balance,
Andarna says like she's reciting facts, just like I do when I'm nervous.
That's the first thing we're taught.
I pivot to face the golden dragon, repeating what she said to Zayden.
What is that supposed to mean?
He asks me, not her. Guess that means he can hear Tarn, but not Andarna.
Well, not the first thing,
Andarna sits, flicking her feather tail along the frost-laden grass.
The first thing is we shouldn't bond until we're full grown.
She cocks her head to the side.
Or maybe the first is where the sheep are. I like goats better, though.
This is why feathertails don't bond.
Tarn sighs with a hefty dose of exasperation.
Let her explain,
Sigail urges, clicking her talons like nails on the ground.
Feathertails shouldn't bond because they can accidentally gift their powers to humans,
Andarna continues.
Dragons can't channel, not really, until we're big, but we're all born with something special.
I relay the message. Like a signet? I ask out loud so Zayden can hear.
No,
Sigail answers.
A signet is a combination of our power with your own ability to channel. It reflects who you are at the core of your being.
Andarna sits up and tilts her head proudly.
But I gave my gift directly to you, because I'm still a feathertail.
I repeat again, staring at the smaller dragon. Almost nothing is known about feathertails because they're never seen outside the veil. They're guarded. They're... I swallow.
Wait, what did she say?
You're still a feathertail?
Yep, for another couple of years, probably.
She blinks slowly and then cracks a yawn, her forked tail curling.
Oh, gods. You're a hatchling,
I whisper.
I am not, Andarna puffs steam into the air. I'm too. The hatchlings can't even fly.
She's a what?
Zayden's gaze swings between Andarna and me. I glare up at Tarn.
You let a juvenile bond? A juvenile train for war?
We mature at a much faster rate than humans,
he argues, having the nerve to look affronted.
And I'm not sure anyone lets Andarna do anything.
How much faster? I gasp. She's 2 years old.
She'll be full grown in a year or two. But some are slower than others, Sigil answers. And if I thought she'd actually bond, I would have objected harder to her right of benefaction. She chuffs at Indarna in obvious disapproval.
Hold on. Is Indarna yours?
Zayden walks a step towards Sigil, and the tone in his voice is one I've never heard. He's hurt.
Have you hidden a hatchling away from me these last 2 years?
Don't be ridiculous. Sigil blows out a blast of air that ruffles Zayden's hair. Do you think I'd let my offspring bond while still feathered?
Her parents passed before hatching,
Tarn answers.
My heart sinks. Oh, I'm sorry, Indarna.
I have lots of elders,
she responds, as though that makes up for it. But having lost my dad, I know it doesn't.
Not enough to keep you off the threshing field,
Tarn grumbles.
Feathertails don't bond because their power is too unpredictable, unstable.
Unpredictable? Zayden questions.
The same way you wouldn't hand a toddler your signet, would you, wing leader?
Tarn grunts when Indarna sags against his foreleg.
Gods, no. I could barely control it as a first year.
Zayden shakes his head.
It's odd to imagine Zayden ever not being in control. Hell, I'd pay good money to see him lose it. To be the one he lost it with.
Nope. I shut that thought down immediately.
Exactly. Bonding too young allows them to give their gift directly, and a rider could easily drain them and burn out.
I would never, I shake my head.
That's why I chose you.
And Darna's head flops against Taryn's leg.
How could I not see it before now? Her rounded eyes, her paws.
Of course you wouldn't know. Feathertails aren't supposed to be seen,
Tarn says, glancing sideways at his mate. She doesn't even roll her eyes.
If leadership knew riders could take her gifts for themselves, rather than depending on their own signets,
Zayden says, staring at Indarna as she blinks slower and slower.
She'd be hunted,
I finish quietly.
Which is why you can't tell anyone what she is,
Sigil says.
Hopefully she'll mature once you're out of the quadrant, and the elders are already placing more stringent protections on the Feathertails.
I won't, I promise. Indarna, thank you. Whatever you did saved my life. I made time stop.
Her mouth drops open into another jaw-cracking yawn.
But only for a little bit.
Wait, what? My stomach hits the ground as I stare into Andarna's golden eyes and forget the pain. The solid earth beneath my feet. Even the need to breathe as shock rolls through me, robbing me of logic. No one can stop time. Nothing can stop it. It's unheard of.
What did she say?
Zayden asks, gripping my shoulders to steady me. Tarn growls and a puff of steam blasts us both.
I'd take your hands off the rider,
Sigil warns. Zayden loosens his grip, but continues to cradle my shoulders.
Tell me what she said, please.
His mouth tightens, and I know that last bit cost him.
She can pause time, I force out, stumbling over my words. Briefly.
Zayden's features slacken, and for the first time, he doesn't look like the stalwart, lethal wing leader I met on the parapet. He's flat out shocked as his gaze swings to Indarna.
You can stop time?
And now we can stop it.
She blinks slowly, and I can feel exhaustion wafting off her. Channeling that gift to me tonight cost her. She can barely keep her eyes open.
In small increments,
I whisper.
In small increments,
Zayden echoes slowly, like he's absorbing the information. And if I use it too much, I can kill you, I say softly to Andarna.
Kill us, she stands on all four paws. But I know you won't.
I'll do my best to be worthy. The ramifications of this gift, the exceptional power, hit me like a death blow, and my stomach bottoms out. Is Professor Carr going to kill me too? Every gaze whips toward me and Zayden's grip tightens on my shoulders, his thumbs stroking in a soothing motion.
Why would you think that?
He killed Jeremiah. I push the panic away and focus on the tiny golden flecks in Zayden's onyx eyes. You saw him snap his neck like a twig right in front of the whole quadrant.
Jeremiah was an intensic. Zayden's voice lowers. A mind reader is a capital offense, you know that.
And what are they going to do if they find out I can stop time? Terror freezes the blood in my veins.
They're not going to find out, Zayden promises. No one is going to tell them. Not you, not me, not them.
He motions with one hand toward our trio of dragons. Understand?
He's right, Taryn says. They can't find out, and there's no saying how long you'll have the ability. Most Feathertail gifts disappear with maturity when they begin to channel.
And Darna cracks another yawn, looking nearly dead on her feet. Get some sleep, I tell her. Thank you for helping me tonight.
Let's go, Golden One, Taryn says,
and they all bend slightly, then launch, wind gusting against my face. And Darna struggles, her wings beating twice as hard, and Taryn flies up underneath her, taking her weight and continuing on to the Vale.
Promise me you won't tell anyone about the time stopping, Zayden asks as we head back into the tunnel.
But it feels an awful lot like a command.
It's not just for your safety. Rare abilities, when kept secret, are the most valuable form of currency we possess.
My brow furrows as I study the stark lines of the rebellion relic that winds up his neck, marking him as a traitor's son, warning everyone that he's not to be trusted. Maybe he's telling me to keep quiet for his own gain, so he can use me later down the road. At least that means he intends for me to be alive at a later date.
We need to figure out how unbonded cadets got in your room, he says.
There was a rider there, I tell him. Someone who ran away before you arrived. She must have unlocked it from the outside.
Who? He halts, taking my elbow gently and turning me toward him.
I shake my head. There's no way he'll believe me. I barely believe it myself.
At some point, you and I are going to have to start trusting each other, Soren Gale. The rest of our lives depend on it.
Fury swims in Zayden's eyes.
Now tell me who.
Chapter 20.
A quote from My Time as a Cadet, a memoir by General Augustine Melgren.
Accusing a wing leader of wrongdoing is the most dangerous of all accusations. If you're right, then we've failed as a quadrant to select the best wing leaders. If you're wrong, you're dead.
Orin Seifert.
Captain Fitzgibbons finishes reading the death roll and closes the scroll as we stand in formation the next morning, our breath creating clouds in the chilled air.
We commend their souls to Malak.
There's no room for sorrow in my heart for six of the eight names, not when I'm shifting my weight to soothe the ache of black and blue along my ribs and ignoring the way other riders stare at the ring of bruises I wear around my throat. The two others on today's list are third years from Second Wing, killed on a training operation near the Breivik border, according to breakfast gossip. And I can't help but wonder if that's where Zayden had been before coming to my rescue last night.
I can't believe they tried to kill you while you were sleeping,
Rhiannon's still seething at breakfast after I told our table what happened. Maybe Zayden is fighting to keep last night's events a secret, to hide what a liability I really am to him. Because no one else in leadership knows. He didn't say a single word after I told him who unlocked the door, so I have no clue if he believes me or not. Even worse, I think I'm getting used to it.
Either I have kick-ass compartmentalization skills, or I really am acclimating to always being a target.
Captain Fitzgibbons makes some minor announcements, and I tune him out as someone strides our way, cutting through the space between the flame and tail sections of our wing. Just like it always does, my stupid, hormone-driven heart stutters at the first sight of Zayden. Even the most effective poisons come in pretty packages, and Zayden's exactly that, as beautiful as he is lethal. He looks deceptively calm as he approaches, but I can feel his tension, as if it's my own, like a panther prowling toward his prey. The wind ruffles his hair, and I sigh at the completely unfair advantage he has over every man in this courtyard. He doesn't even have to try to look sexy. He just is. Oh, shit. This feeling right here, the way my breath catches and my entire body draws tight when he's near, is why I haven't taken anyone to bed or celebrated like the rest of my perfectly normal friends. This feeling is why I haven't wanted anyone else. Because I want him. There aren't enough curse words in the world for this. His gaze locks with mine just long enough to quicken my pulse before he addresses Dane, ignoring Fitzgibbon's announcements behind him.
There's a change to your squad role.
Wing leader? Dane questions, his spine straightening. We just absorbed 4 from the dissolution of the 3rd squad.
Yes.
Zayden looks to the right, where 2nd squad tail section stands at attention.
Belden, we're making a role change.
Yes, sir.
The squad leader nods once.
Atos, Vaughn Penley will be leaving your command, and you'll be gaining Liam Mari from tail section.
Dane's mouth snaps shut, and he nods. We all watch as the 2 first-year riders exchange places. Penley's only been with us since threshing, so there's no heartfelt goodbye from our original squad. But the other 3 grumble. Liam nods at Zayden, and my stomach twists. I know exactly why he's being put under Dane's command. The guy is massive, as tall as Sawyer and as built as Dane, with light blonde hair, prominent nose, blue eyes, and the sprawling rebellion relic that begins at his wrist and disappears under the sleeve of his tunic gives his mission away.
I do not need a bodyguard, I snap at Zayden.
Am I out of line speaking to a wing leader that way? Absolutely. Do I care? Not one bit. He ignores me, facing Dane.
Liam is statistically the strongest first year in the quadrant. He has the fastest time up the gauntlet, hasn't lost a single challenge, and is bonded to an exceptionally strong red dagger tail. Any squad would be lucky to have him, and he's all yours, Atos. You can thank me when you win the squad battle in the spring.
Liam steps into formation behind me, taking Penley's place.
I do not need a bodyguard, I repeat a little louder this time. I could give 2 fucks who hears me.
One of the first years behind me gasps, mortified by my audacity, no doubt. Imogen snorts.
Good luck with that approach.
Zayden walks past Dane and stands directly in front of me, leaning into my space.
You do, though, as we both learned last night, and I can't be everywhere you are. But Liam here,
he points back to the blonde tier.
He's a first year, so he can be in every class, at every challenge, and I even had him assigned to library duty. So I hope you get used to him, Soren Gale.
You're overstepping. My nails bite into my palms.
You haven't begun to see overstepping, he warns, his voice dropping low, sending a shiver down my spine. Any threat against you is a threat against me. And as we've already established, I have more important things to do than sleep on your floor. Heat flushes up my neck and stains my cheeks. He is not sleeping in my room. Of course not. He freaking smirks, and my traitorous stomach dips. I had him moved into the one next to yours. Wouldn't want to overstep. He turns on his heel and walks away, headed back to his place at the front of our formation. Fucking mated dragons, Dane seethes, keeping his eyes forward. Fitzgibbons finishes his announcements and steps to the back of the dais, which would usually signal the end of formation. But Commandant Pancheck takes the podium. He makes it a habit to avoid morning formation, which means something is up. What's going on with Pancheck? Rhiannon asks at my side. Not sure. I take a deep breath, wincing at the pain in my ribs. It has to be something big if he's fumbling with a codex up there, Rhiannon says. Quiet, Dane orders, glancing back over his shoulder at us for the first time this morning. He does a double take, his eyes flaring wide as he catches sight of my neck. Vi? He hasn't spoken to me since our fight yesterday. Gods, how has it been less than 24 hours when I feel like a completely different person? I'm fine, I assure him, but he's still staring at my throat, locked in shock. Squad leader Atos, people are staring. We hold way more than our share of the attention as Commandant Pancheck begins to speak at the podium, telling us that there's another matter to handle this morning. But Dane won't look away. Dane! He blinks, jerking his gaze to mine. And the apology in those soft brown eyes clogs my throat. Is that what Ryerson meant by last night? I nod. I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me? Because you wouldn't believe me even if I did. I'm fine, I repeat, nodding toward the dais. Later. He turns, but the motion is reluctant.
It has been brought to my attention as your commandant that a breach of the codex has occurred, Pancheck calls out over the courtyard. As you know, breaches of our most sacred laws are not to be tolerated, Pancheck continues. This matter will be addressed here and now. Will the accuser please step forward?
Someone's in trouble, Rhiannon whispers. Think Riddick finally got caught into Von Varen's bed? That's hardly against the codex, Riddick murmurs from behind us. He's the executive officer for Second Wing. I send a pointed look over my shoulder.
And? Riddick shrugs, grinning without a touch of remorse. Fraternizing with command is frowned upon, not unlawful.
I sigh, facing forward. I miss sex. I really do, and it's not just the physical gratification either. There's a sense of connection in those moments that I crave, a momentary banishment of loneliness. The first is something I'm sure Zayden would be more than capable of providing, if he ever thought of me that way. But the second? He's the last person I should be craving. But lust and logic never seem to go hand in hand.
If you're looking for a little fun, I'm happy to oblige, Riddick starts, shoving his floppy brown hair off his forehead with a wink.
I miss good sex, I counter, smothering a smile as someone walks from the front of formation toward the dais, indistinguishable through the rows of the squads ahead of us. Besides, apparently you're spoken for. Have to admit, it feels good to tease a friend about something so trivial. It's a tiny slice of normalcy in an otherwise macabre environment.
We're not exclusive, Riddick counters.
It's like Rhiannon and what's her name? Tara, Rhiannon offers.
Will you all shut the hell up? Dane barks in his superior officer voice.
Our mouths snap shut. Mine drops open again when I realize it's Zayden climbing the steps to the dais. My stomach lurches as I suck in a tight breath.
This is about me, I whisper.
Dane glances back at me, confusion furrowing his brow before whipping his attention toward the dais,
where Zayden now stands at the podium, somehow managing to fill the entire stage with his presence. From what I remember reading, his father had that same magnetism, the ability to hold and capture a crowd with nothing but his words. Words that led to Brennan's death. "Early this morning," he begins, his deep voice carrying over the formation, "a rider in my wing was brutally, illegally attacked in her sleep, with the intent of murder, by a group primarily composed of unbondeds." A collection of murmurs and gasps fills the air, and Dane's shoulders stiffen. "As we all know, this is a violation of Article 3, Section 2 of the Dragon Rider's Codex, and, in addition to being dishonorable, is a capital offense." I feel the weight of a dozen glances, but it's Zayden's I feel most of all. His hands clench the sides of the podium. "Having been alerted by my dragon, I interrupted the attack along with two other fourth wing riders." He dips his chin toward our wing, and two riders, Garrick and Bodhi, break formation, then climb the steps to stand behind Zayden, their hands at their sides. "As it was a matter of life and death, I personally executed six of the would-be murderers, as witnessed by Flame Section Leader Garrick Tavis and Tail Section Executive Officer Bodhi Duran." Both tears. How convenient. Nadine, one of our new additions to the squad, said from the row behind Riddick and Liam. I look back over my shoulder and pin her with a glare. Liam keeps his eyes forward. "But the attack was orchestrated by a rider who fled before I arrived." Zayden continues, his voice rising. "A rider who had access to the map of where all first years are assigned to sleep. And that rider must be brought to swift justice." Shit, this is about to get ugly. "I call you to answer for your crime against Cadet Soren Gale." Zayden's focus shifts to the center of the formation. "Wing leader Amber Mavis." The quadrant draws a collective breath before an uproar rips through the crowd. "What the hell?" Dane bites out. My chest tightens. Gods, I hate it when Dane proves me right. Rhiannon reaches for my hand, squeezing tight in support as every rider in the courtyard's attention pivots between Zayden, Amber, and me.
"She's a tier two, Nadine," Riddick says over his shoulder. "Or are you only biased against marked ones?"
Amber's family stayed loyal to Navarre, so she wasn't forced to watch her parents executed and wasn't marked by a rebellion relic.
"Amber would never," Dane shakes his head. "A wing leader would never."
He turns completely to face me.
"Get up there and tell everyone that he's lying, Vi."
"But he's not," I say as gently as I can.
"It's impossible."
His cheeks flush a mottled shade of red. "I was there, Dane." The reality of his disbelief hurts so much more than I expected, like a blow to my already battered ribs.
"Wing leaders are beyond reproach. Then why are you so quick to call our own wing leader a liar?"
My brows rise in challenge, daring him to say what he's so careful to keep quiet. Behind him, Amber steps forward, separating herself from the formation.
"I have committed no such crime."
"See?" Dane swings his arm, pointing toward the redhead.
"Put a stop to this right now, Violet."
"She was with them in my room," I say simply. Shouting won't convince him. Nothing will.
"That's impossible."
He lifts his hands as though he's ready to cut my face.
"Let me see."
The shock of what he intends to do has me stumbling backward. How have I forgotten that his signet allows him to see others' memories? But if I let him see my memory of Amber's participation, it will also show him that I stopped time, and I can't let that happen. I shake my head and take another step back.
"Give me the memory," he orders.
Indignation lifts my chin.
"Touch me without permission, and you'll spend the rest of your life regretting it."
Surprise ripples over his features.
"Wing leaders," Zayden projects his voice over the chaos. We need a quorum.
Both Nyra and Septon Izar, the wing leaders for first and second wing, climb the stairs to the dais, passing by Amber as she stands utterly exposed in the courtyard. A familiar chaos fills the air, and we all look toward the ridgeline as six dragons curve along the mountain, flying straight for us. The biggest among them is Tairn. In a matter of seconds, they reach the citadel and hover over the courtyard walls. Wind from the strong beats of their wings blasts through the courtyard. Then, one by one, they land on their perch. Tairn at the center of the grouping. Every line of his frame exudes menace as his talons crush the masonry under his grip, and his narrowed, angry eyes focus on Amber. Sigale is perched to the right, taking her position behind Zayden. She's just as terrifying as she was that first day. But back then, I'd never imagined I'd bond a dragon even more frightening to everyone but me. Nyra's red scorpion tail looms behind her as well, and Septon's brown dagger tail mirrors the stance to the left. On the ends, puffing blasts of steam, are Commandant Panchek's green club tail and Amber's orange dagger tail.
Shit's about to get real, Sawyer says, breaking formation to stand at my side, and I feel Riddick at my back.
You can stop this all right now, Violet. You have to, Dane implores. I don't know what you saw last night, but it wasn't Amber. She cares too much about the rules to break them.
And she thinks I broke them by using my dagger on the last ascent of the gauntlet.
You're using this to get your revenge on my family, Amber shouts at Zayden, for not supporting your father's rebellion.
That's a low fucking blow. Zayden doesn't even acknowledge it as he turns to the other wing leaders. He isn't demanding proof like Dane. He believes me, and he's ready to execute a wing leader on nothing more than my word. As surely as if they're a physical structure, I feel my defenses crack on Zayden's behalf.
Can you see my memories? I ask Tairn. Share them?
Yes.
His head snakes left and right ever so slightly.
A memory has never been shared outside of a mating bond. It's considered a violation.
Zayden's up there fighting because I told him it was her. Help him.
And gods, I admire him for it. I take a deep breath.
Only what they need to see.
Wanting and admiring?
I'm so screwed.
Tairn chuffs, and every dragon besides Sigale stiffens on the wall. Even Amber's. The riders are quick to follow, silence filling the courtyard. And I know they know.
That spineless wretch, Rhiannon seethes, her hand squeezing mine even tighter.
Dane pales.
Believe me now, I hurl it like the accusation it is. You're supposed to be my oldest friend, Dane, my best friend. There's a reason I didn't tell you.
He staggers backward. The wing leaders have formed a quorum and are in unanimous agreement, Zayden announces, flanked by Nyra and Septon, while the Commandant hangs back. We find you guilty, Amber Mavis.
No, she shouts. It is no crime to rid the Quadrant of the weakest rider. I did it to protect the integrity of the wings. She paces in panic, looking to everyone, anyone for help. As a whole, the formation moves backward. And as is our law, your sentence will be carried out by fire, Nyra states. No! Amber looks to her dragon. Clyde! Amber's orange dagger tail snarls at the other dragons and lifts a claw. Tairn swivels his massive head toward Clyde, his roar shaking the ground beneath my feet. Then he snaps his teeth at the smaller orange, and she retreats, her head hanging as she grips the wall again. The sight breaks my heart, not for Amber, but for Clyde.
Do you have to? I ask Tairn.
This is our way.
Please don't, I beg, forgetting to think the words. It's one thing to punish Amber, but Clyde will suffer as well.
Maybe I could talk to Amber. Maybe we can still work through our issues. Maybe we can find common ground, turn our anger to friendship, or at least casual indifference. I shake my head, my heart pounding in my throat. I did this. I was so focused on whether anyone would believe me. I didn't stop to think what might happen if they did. I turn to Zayden and beg again, my voice breaking by the end. Please, give her a chance. He holds my gaze, but doesn't so much as show a flicker of emotion.
I let someone live once, and he almost killed you last night, Silver One,
Tarn says. Then, as if this is all that really matters in the end.
Justice is not always merciful.
Clyde, Amber whimpers. The courtyard's so unbelievably silent that the sound carries. The formation splits at the center. Tarn leans low, extending his head and neck past the dais toward where Amber stands. Then, his teeth part, he curls his tongue, and he incinerates her with a blast of fire so hot, I can feel it from here. It's over in a heartbeat. A gruesome scream rends the air, shattering a window in the academic wing, and every rider slams their hands over their ears as Clyde mourns. Chapter 21.
A quote from page 61, The Book of Brennan.
Don't freak out if you can't immediately channel your dragon's powers, Mira. Yeah, I know you have to be the best at everything, but this isn't something you can control. They'll channel when they feel you're ready. And once they do, you better be ready to manifest a signet. Until then, you're not ready. Don't push it. This really isn't necessary, I glance sideways at Liam as we make our way toward the door of the archives. The cart doesn't even squeak anymore. He fixed that the very first day.
So you've told me for the last week. He shoots me a grin, revealing a dimple.
And yet, you're still here. Every day. All day. It's not that I don't like him. To my absolute annoyance, he's actually nice. Courteous, funny, and ridiculously helpful. He makes it difficult to loathe his constant presence, even though he leaves wood shavings in little piles everywhere he goes. Which is everywhere I go now. The guy is constantly whittling with that smaller knife of his. Yesterday, he finished the figurine of a bear.
Until otherwise ordered, he says.
I shake my head at him as Pearson jolts upright at the archive's doors, straightening his cream tunic. Good morning, Cadet Pearson.
You as well, Cadet Sorengale.
He offers me a polite smile, which dies as he glances at Liam.
Cadet Mari?
Cadet Pearson, Liam responds, as if the scribe's tone hadn't completely changed. My shoulders tense as Pearson hurries to open the door. Maybe it's just that I haven't been around marked ones before Bezgaeth, but the outright hostility toward them is becoming glaringly, uncomfortably obvious to me. We walk into the archives and wait by the table just like every other morning. How do you do that? I ask Liam in a hushed whisper. Handle when people are that rude without reacting.
You're rude to me all the time, he teases, drumming his fingers on the handle of the cart.
Because you're my babysitter, not because...
I can't even say it. Because I'm the son of the disgraced Colonel Mari? His jaw ticks, his brow furrowing for a heartbeat as he looks away.
I nod, my stomach sinking as I think back over the last few months. I guess I'm really no better, though. I hated Zayden on sight, and I didn't know a single thing about him. Not that I do now, either. He's infuriatingly good at being completely inaccessible. Liam scoffs, earning us a glare from a scribe near the back corner.
He has that effect on people. Especially women. They either despise him for what his father did or want to fuck him for the same reason. Just depends on where we are.
You actually know him, don't you?
I craned my neck to look up at him. He didn't just pick you to shadow me because you're the best in our year.
Just now catching on, huh?
A grin flashes across his face. I would have told you that on the first day if you hadn't been so busy huffing and puffing about the pleasure of my company. I roll my eyes as Jacinia approaches, her hood up over her hair. Hey, Jacinia, I sign.
Good morning,
she signs back, her mouth curving in a shy smile as her gaze darts up to Liam. Good morning, he signs with a wink, clearly flirting. It shocked me to my toes that first day that he knew how to sign, but honestly, I'd been a little judgy just because I didn't want a shadow.
Just these today?
Jacinia asks, inspecting the cart. And these. I reach for the list of requests amid their obvious glances and hand it to her.
Perfect.
Her cheeks flush, and she studies the list before putting it in her pocket. Oh, and Professor Markham left before his daily report arrived to teach your briefing. Would you mind taking it over?
Happy to.
I wait until she's pushing the cart away from us, then smack Liam's chest.
Stop it, I whisper out loud.
Stop what? He watches her until she turns the corner at the first set of shelves.
Flirting with Jacinia. She's a long-term relationship woman, so unless that's what you're looking for, just don't.
His eyebrows hit his hairline. How does anyone think long-term around here?
Not everyone is in a quadrant where death is less of a chance and more of a foregone conclusion.
I breathe in the scent of the archives and try to absorb a little of the peace it brings.
So you're saying that people still try to make cute little things like plans?
Exactly. And those some people is Jacinia. Trust me, I've known her for years.
Right, because you wanted to be a scribe when you grew up.
He scans the archives with an intensity that almost makes me laugh, as if there's any chance someone is going to lunge out of the shelves and come after me.
How did you know that?
I lower my voice as a group of second years passes, their expressions somber as they debate the merits of two different historians.
I did my research on you after I was, you know, assigned.
He shakes his head. I've seen you practicing this week with those blades of yours, Soren Gale. Ryerson was right. You would have been wasted as a scribe. My chest swells with more than a little pride.
That remains to be seen.
At least challenges haven't resumed. Guess enough of us are dying during flight lessons to hold off on killing more through hand to hand.
What did you want to be when you grew up? I ask, just to keep the conversation going.
Alive? He shrugs.
Well, that's something.
How do you know Zayden anyway? I'm not foolish enough to think that everyone in the province of Tirindor knows one another.
Ryerson and I were fostered at the same estate after the apostasy,
he says, using the Tirish term for the rebellion, which I haven't heard in ages.
You were fostered?
My mouth drops open. Fostering the children of aristocrats was a custom that died out after the unification of Navarre more than 600 years ago.
Well, yeah, he shrugs again.
Where did you think the kids of the traitors, he flinches at the word,
went after they executed our parents?
I look out over the sprawling shelves of texts, wondering if one of them holds the answer.
I didn't think.
My throat catches on that last word.
Most of our great houses were given to nobles who had remained loyal.
He clears his throat.
As it should be.
I don't bother agreeing with what's obviously a conditioned reply. King Tari's response after the rebellion was swift, even cruel. But I was a 15-year-old girl too lost in her own grief to think mercifully on the people who'd caused my brother's death. The burning of Arisha, which had been Tirindor's capital, to the ground, had never sat well with me, though. Liam was the same age. It wasn't his fault his mother had broken faith with Navarre.
But you didn't go with your father to his new home?
His gaze swings toward mine and his brow furrows. It's hard to live with a man who was executed on the same day as my mother. My stomach sinks.
No. No, that's not right. Your father was Isaac Mari, right? I've studied all the noble houses in every province, including Tirindor.
Had I gotten something wrong?
Yes, Isaac was my father.
He tilts his head, looking toward the area where Jacinia disappeared. And I get the distinct feeling he is over this conversation.
But he wasn't part of the rebellion. I shake my head, trying to make sense of it. He isn't on the death roll of the executions from Caldir.
You read the death roll from the Caldir executions?
His eyes flare. It takes all my courage, but I hold his stare. I needed to see that someone was on it.
He draws back slightly. Fenn Ryerson.
I nod. He killed my brother at the Battle of Arisha. My mind scrambles, trying to harmonize what I've read and what he's saying. But your father wasn't on that roll.
But Liam was, as a witness.
Mortification sweeps over me. What the hell am I doing? I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have asked.
He was executed at our family's house. His features tighten. Before it was given to another noble, of course. And yes, I watched as they did it that time, too. I already had the rebellion relic by then, but the pain was the same.
He looks away, his throat working.
Then I was sent to Tyrvain to be fostered by Duke Lindell, the same as Ryerson. My little sister was sent elsewhere.
They separated you?
My jaw practically unhinges. Neither fostering nor separating siblings is mentioned in any text I've read about the rebellion. And I've read a ton. He nods. She's only a year younger than me, though, so I'll get to see her when she enters the quadrant next year.
She's strong, quick, and has good balance. She'll make it.
The edge of panic in his tone.